And this is 10 a.m. in the West Coast, 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and 8 p.m. in the Middle East. Today on BBS Radio, The Impossible Truth, we have many, many guests that are welcoming, you know, a wonderful, wonderful artist and producer and an incredible human being that I would love to you to understand, to know, and to I have the honor to introduce. This is Orly Benny Davis, and I'm so happy to introduce Adam Gorlitsky. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, Orly, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for coming on. It's really amazing since we met last year. I think that you're still with me, with your spirit, with your incredible talent. And
Thank you.
It's impossible, you know, to overlook you because you are one special man.
It's impossible to look over you, too. You definitely stuck in my mind as well. So let's not forget about that either, right?
Thank you so much for that. You know, sometimes when you share a common passion of art and beauty of music and movie making, you know, being together just make it more awesome. And that event not many times in people's lives you have the opportunity to come across, you know, and understand somebody else's passion and say, hey, this is incredible talent. And I want all of you to listen to Adam. What, you know, Adam, you're a producer, you're a filmmaker, and you have so many things that you share with the world. And I saw your latest video, which is incredible. I want you to tell me more. How did you come about to start making it all?
Well, it's a long story short. You know, they're a local band here in Charleston, South Carolina, but they're starting to make some real waves nationally. They're called it's a band called Stoplight Observations. So about two and a half years ago, I would guess, about two and a half years ago, I just saw them at a little local dive bar on the Isle of Palms, and there's probably 10 people, you know, in the audience, and it was mostly their friends and family. And I had a friend that kind of begged me to come out and, you know, check out his younger brother's best friend's band. And I was a Wednesday night. It was in July, so I just kind of wanted to stay home and just kind of sleep, you know, get up early the next day. And so I went out to this little dive bar, and you know, within the first 30 seconds of them playing, I said, "I think this is the next big band in this country, you know, in the United States." And and I said, "I'm gonna help them out, and I'm gonna make their music videos." So ever since then, I kind of, you know, and it was, you know, so, you know, the so over the course of a year and a half, 2 years, I just did all of their kind of, you know, little promo videos and stuff like that. I made another music video. It was like a zero-budget music video. So everything kind of was, you know, very low budget or no budget for about 2 years. And then that last video for their song, Smilers of the Night, that was kind of the culmination of the past 2 years, you know. But it's been amazing seeing them. You know, you're talking about sharing common passion for art and music and, you know, filmmaking and stuff like that. You know, I didn't know anything about music going into it. You know, I didn't know, you know, what it took to make a song really happen. And, you know, I really got to appreciate music, you know, and the art form that it is by just watching them, you know, in the studio and growing as a band. It's really been something. And, you know, I've seen the audiences grow from 10 people to, you know, 4,000 or 5,000. So, you know, in just a year and a half, it's been amazing. So, and just to watch them grow as artists too, it's been really fun to see. And it's really inspired me. You know, they're about 6 years younger than me. Adam,
one thing that people need to understand, the difference between make it or not making it, it's actually individual. Because what you're making is you're creating the sensation and the feeling of the actual song. And today, when YouTube is so common in everybody's hands, and music can be reached out faster, it can become something that amazing. And I'm sure that the talent to make the video more more particular, more special. A lot of hard work, even with no budget.
Absolutely.
But the passion, exactly. And that's why, your hard working will pay on really big time, because you make a difference in, people's lives when you make their songs look like they want it to be, to reach the heart of the people. And sometimes,
absolutely.
I know you go spooky sometimes.
A little bit, yeah. The the music video that you're referring to is it's a little bit on the spooky side. You're right. But no, you're right. It is a lot of work. I produced that, so I kind of set everything up and got the I found the director, the production design. I put everything together. Somehow we brought a lot of people from LA over. I gotta say that the director and production designer from LA, Michael Alden Lloyd, he's just an amazing talent. He's an amazing talent. He's a cinematographer out there. So, but he graciously came out. Him and the production designer, it's a friend of his. Her name's Danielle Laubach, and she's just an incredible young talent too. I like working with younger talent, because I'm 28 years old, so I try to, my whole thing is I don't want to work with Spielberg. I want to work with the next Spielberg,
Absolutely. Maybe you are the next Spielberg.
I mean, I would love to work
with him. You never know.
Don't get me wrong. I would absolutely love to work with him, but, I definitely take great pride in, work with people that are like the next up and coming guys, which is also why I love working with that band too. I think they're just amazing. Like I said, I've seen the crowds grow from 10 people to 4,000 or 5,000. And I went to Bonnaroo. It's a huge music festival in Tennessee. I saw them play there, and then they've been to Firefly Music Festival, Summerfest. These are big time music festivals, and so it's just really been something. And then Yeah, it's just been an amazing journey.
And I want to speak about something that people don't realize. Really, people make music. They make music, in the from their heart. And you make the film and the movies around it with all your passion and talent, because music takes a lot of talent. But the number of people that you can collect together to watch, to listen, is amazing. Because what I saw in concerts, like thousands of people together, and I say no politician can bring those people, except a special one, of course.
Exactly.
No messenger in the world brings such a ton of audience.
Yeah.
But the
music and film really crosses all racial barriers and conservative, liberal, political side. It really brings everybody together, which
and
is
that's
awesome.
What
it's
we
amazing
need.
To see that. Absolutely, especially in today. It's a crazy world out there.
Especially today. Hallelujah for real, because. What we need to think about, this global crisis that we all face, and we are facing it from all corner of the globe.
Absolutely.
Politically speaking, it can start a war in no time. And if you guys insist and cross over really to the other side and reach to each other, make your music, make your movie, talk together, work together, bring more people together, maybe we can overcome a lot of challenges that we have.
Absolutely. Especially, today with that Sydney, the hostage situation, it's just so sad,
It's sad. You know why it closed sad? Because they didn't prepare for it. And if anybody in the world thinks that he is in a safe haven, it maybe should wake up, because Sydney, you know, Australia was out of the global terror platform, but sure enough, one crazy guy can go and do the same thing.
And that's what's great about art. I think it kind of brings everybody together. Like you said, one crazy, disenfranchised person can really, stir up so much trouble. It's terrible. So, that's what I love about filmmaking and just art in general, is that it can kind of tap into your soul, a tiny bit, and really kind of help you through whatever problems that you might have,
Absolutely. And you know what? You need those musicians, those filmmakers have a big heart. You know, people don't realize the people in the art world, they're not, those basic human being, you wake up in the morning and just go to sleep without doing something. They feel the world, and they make a difference.
Yeah,
and your courage overcoming so many challenges is exceptional.
True, yeah.
And Adam, it's really, really special for me, because I have a little surprise for you. And if that will get it for you. I told you that Gorlitsky family in Israel is very, very famous.
I'm glad you said that, because I'm being in the States, I think there's only like 10 of us here or something. So I've always
felt really special. And Doug, do we have that music that I prepared for him? Because I wanted to introduce you to your copy, your Adam Gorlitsky from Israel. And
his name's Adam Gorlitsky.
His name is Adam Gorlitsky, and I'm going to put some of his music so you can hear it. Let's go, Doug. Adam, I wanted to surprise you.
That was amazing. Now I feel like I have to start upping my game, to be the Adam Gorlitsky that everybody knows,
listen, this is second generation. They have an amazing father, and
that's amazing.
An amazing history. And what about special about them? They send a message of love, of happiness. And you don't need. There is a famous song that the father Hilly Gorlitsky used to sing. A man doesn't need much. He needs something, to eat, some bed to sleep, and a lot of love. And this song resonate again and again. In all generation, because it's such a simplicity, but comes through, and that's why I wanted. And when you told me your name that day, I said, "Hey, this is a this is a big deal." And you have actually a very famous singer here.
That's amazing. I'm gonna have to get their contact information as soon as we get done with this. I would love to definitely email them and. I guess us Gorlitskys have to stay together,
Absolutely. Hey, it's a special name. It's not like everyday name, so you cannot say that.
I also have a cousin in New York, Lisa Gorlitsky. She's an amazing actress. Us Gorlitskys have a little art, crazy artist flowing through our veins, I guess,
That's your signature. Look at you're crossing. You're going across the globe, the same family name, and you still do the same thing. It's amazing. It's like you can't guess it. And that's what they said with the gene. People don't realize that when you do between twins, it doesn't matter if they go across the world, they separate. The families always have the same talent, they go on after the same thing. It's in the genes. So you got it from
absolutely.
Generation, I guess. So first of all, I wanted to talk to you about your new production company because it's really interesting what you were saying.
It's exciting. I'm very excited. Yeah.
I want you to tell me about your challenges and things that you faced and that made you decide to come along.
Absolutely. I'm 28 years old. I think I'm still young. Some days I don't feel so young. When I was 19 years old, it's going to be exactly 9 years on December 30th of this month. I was in college, I was a sophomore in college, and I fell asleep at the wheel while I was driving my dad's Tahoe from Chevy Tahoe, it's a big car, from Columbia, South Carolina, back to where I live, where my family lives in Charleston, South Carolina. And I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. I fell asleep at the wheel while I was driving. I got thrown out of the driver's seat. I woke up and I hit a bunch of trees. And thank God I wasn't actually ejected from the car because I probably would not be here talking to you. But I got thrown in the back seat. I suffered a spinal cord injury. I broke my back. I'm a paraplegic. So I'm in a wheelchair, in a manual wheelchair. So that was 19. And then, I never thought about being a filmmaker really. I always loved telling stories. I remember being in fourth grade writing little, for extra credit. I guess I'm going to sound kind of like a book nerd here, but I was writing my own stories, 10-page little stories, when I was in fourth grade, for extra credit. So I always had that kind of sense. I always loved telling stories. So a year after my accident, I started writing down all of my crazy stories of, essentially me in my new body, being in this paralyzed, me in my paralyzed body, I guess, and being in a wheelchair. So I kind of fell in love with it. I originally wanted to be a writer, and I love to write, but, one thing led to another, and I just realized that I love movies. I love movies, and I love everything about them, and that's kind of what I wanted to do. So I went to school. I went back to school. I graduated with a business degree from the University of South Carolina, in Columbia, South Carolina, and I took a year off, and then I went back to film school here in Charleston at Trident Technical College. So I did that, and then I noticed that a lot of my friends, there's a lot of TV shows being filmed around Charleston, especially now. But back then it was a few other TV shows also that were being filmed here. I'm not going to say which ones, and that's because of the story I'm about to tell. But I tried to get a job. It was an internship in the accounting office at one of the TV shows. I was very excited. I had a very stacked resume. I was 23 or 24 at the time. I was a college graduate in business. So I was going into the accounting department thinking that I had this, but when I got there, it was in a trailer and there was no ramp. There's no wheelchair ramp. So I ended up not getting the job. So I was very, very down. I was kind of upset. I was pretty upset. I was hurt. But what I've learned, I guess I've always been like this, but now I really, because of my accident, I kind of take everything negative that could happen and turn into a positive somehow. So because of that incident of not getting that job because of no wheelchair ramp, I just, said to myself, why am I in this? Why do I want to make movies? Why am I in this? And it's to tell the stories that are inside my head. So I lived at home for the next 4 years. I saved up a lot of money, and I started making my own productions. I was my own boss essentially. So that's kind of how my production company started. And then I finally got the confidence. I definitely failed at a lot of the productions. Some of those productions are on YouTube. You can check them out. you know, I mean, they were good, but not great. But every production I noticed I was getting better and better. And my peers were responding to them better and better. So, so I made that. So, and then that's when I met the band too, when I really started making music videos for them. I was like my own boss, and I was, no one could kind of tell me what I can and can't do. So I just started up.
But I think, once people start looking over, when you see personality, and Adam, please, your personality shines, miles away.
I appreciate that. No, I really do. I absolutely appreciate that. That definitely means a lot.
It's so strong, and the art and the music and the passion, that's what's count. And we know Stevie Wonder has a handicap, and he's one of the most beloved people, in the music industry. I think that people need to overlook it. And of course, I want you to be the fighter for those people that, cannot get challenged.
And the cool thing, because being in a wheelchair, I guess it affects, of course it does. It affects everything I do, but, from a physical standpoint. But I never really see myself, there's a lot of times I forget that I'm actually really in it. So that one experience kind of rocked me for not long, like a couple of days. And then I really started. It's like a blessing in disguise, really, that I did not get that job. Because I just said, hey, I'm going to not take no for an answer. I'm going to be my own boss, and I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to be, develop these projects on my own, and, I'm going to fail. I'm sure I'm going to fail, but I'm going to learn from those mistakes. And, all that gave me the confidence to finally, as of, I think you need to think
that you will succeed, because your success story since from your birth and God send it to you. Sometimes as a person who will march through whatever to make it happen, and sometimes other people need your help. So I commend you for your spirit, and I'm sure that you will be a wonderful, wonderful, successful filmmakers, and you're very young.
Even though I don't feel young sometimes, but I wanted to, all those mistakes that I made, gave me the confidence to finally start up my film development company called the Gorlitsky Group. So right now I've hired a couple of different writers. And then I just hired a couple of writers, and we're developing three scripts right now. And one of the scripts it'll be ready by April, and we'll start trying to raise money, and then hopefully make them, hopefully put them into production sometime, late next year or 2016. So I'm very, very excited about that.
God willing. And this week we're starting the Hanukkah, it's the light of the Hanukkah, and I want to send the blessing your way, that it may bring you, a lot of lights on you, and a lot of stars will shine over you, because you are a worthy person. And may God bless you whatever you do, and keep on going, because you're a fighter, and you are incredible talented man. So I want to conclude with this to tell you, shalom, and may God bless you again, and hope to talk to you soon, my friend.
Absolutely. When are you coming back from Israel?
You'll be back sooner than me, because the way things are here, I don't know. God knows. But you're welcome to come to Israel, and hopefully you'll meet the Gorlitsky family here.
Make sure I need to get their contact from you.
God willing, soon. I'll try to get it for you. Let's see if I can manage to do that. I promise I'll do my best. All right.
That'd be wonderful.
God bless you. And let's take a break. Thank you.
Take care. And I appreciate you having me on.
And that was Adam Gorlitsky. What a wonderful human being. It's amazing. There God put in this world so many people that are so special and so wonderful to light the way to so many futures, you know. And we need to pay attention when they're little and to pay attention when they grow up and give them a little break. You know, guys, remember, it's all about the chance in a lifetime that people have to make it happen. And a movie can be made only if somebody open his heart and make it. You know, a book is written and, you know, a script is written so hard and for so long and it's been thought. And, you know, many people don't really actually give the time to understand that talented human beings are not so, you know, spread all over like, you know, like common people. They are really, really rare. So when you find somebody special, start to put the ego out, because the people at the end of the day, the success of the world, the one that we are living in, it depends all on us. And I realized that, you know, many people think that things make them look better. Of course, the way you look is always important, and the way you deliver is incredible. You know, it could make a difference. But the things come and go, you know, like everything else. And the only way that we can make a difference if we are a source of empowerment to the world, if we become a part of the world that makes things happen. And the growth, you know, people think, what happened to the economy? And, you know, remember when the '80s, when after President Reagan and President Clinton came along, everything was, you know, after the crisis, of course, start, you know, renovation. People start doing things. People gave each other help they needed to accomplish things, because we are not perfect. We always need the help of our friends. We need help of, you know, institution. We help organization. We need those all, you know, nonprofit organization didn't come for nothing, because there was a need of many things. But if really humanity, if mankind will think about it, we can be an engine of growth if we only use ourselves to become and make other people get that chance. And, you know, there is nothing too high or too low, because sometimes it's a break. You give a kid to perform in the theater of, you know, it's the community, maybe starting at school, give him, you know, he wants so much to do the part and he feels he has it. And then he grow up to become, you know, the next incredible actor. The art is our passion, is our color in the world. If you think about pictures, if you think about, you know, studios, all the hard work that Hollywood did over the year, starting, you know, to diminish the because of sort of, you know, deviation that we got in the understanding what really people want. And they sold violence, and violence we get. And if they said, you know, life follow ours, I would like it to follow some other kind of act, because those acting of, you know, of violence, it's been shattering the world. And, you know, responsibility start with doing the right thing. So I'm not lecturing, God forbid, to anybody, especially not Hollywood. Or, you know, I've been really away from that scenery for so many years, so I'm not in there at all. I've never been in Hollywood, actually. I've been doing it elsewhere in Italy, because there it was amazing what they did with you know, with the Western in Rome. You know, Cinema City was incredible there. And I'm sure that the guy that didn't have a break in Hollywood got Clint Eastwood got to be famous from the Western movies in Europe. So maybe we over put our emphasis on importance, self-importance, and sometimes I like to be to become really, you know, just us. We are the people everywhere of the world. We are really the people of the world, and if you can see, if you can make a difference, just do it. Love yourself and love the other, you know, in the same way. That's what they say in the Judaism. And it's something that is very important to everybody. Let's get to a break, and then we'll start talking about the usual politics for a minute. And that was for Adam, you know, for a part of the video that I guess he sent me, so I'm sure he's going to be very happy. Anyway, we have to face what's going on. What's going on near Israel, a new election. We have a new election coming in. The left thinks they can take over the, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu government, and you know, they tried to topple the government, but he called it quits, and they're going to election. Now, what is all about? It's about the policy of what to do with the Palestinian, I guess, and what to do with either the economy, or that it's, you know, it's the reflection of the rest of the world, and the engine of power is trying to change hands now. But let's listen carefully to what is actually in play. Let's say the Palestinians are going to present Wednesday, and you know they're being pushed away to not present in the UN a resolution to being recognized as a Palestinian state. Now everybody wants independence. That's for sure. You know, everybody who lives in America can understand what liberty is all about and love it and appreciate that. But now the Palestinians are calling to the world, state by state, let's recognize the Palestinian state. And not just this, they're saying with the border of 67 and Jerusalem is the capital of Palestine, East Jerusalem, you know, the old city, all the rest of Western Jerusalem is old, is new, so it doesn't really encompass the historical Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is the city of God. Everybody who holds the Bible in his hands knows Jerusalem does not belong to Palestinian. It belongs to God. Jerusalem is a holy place where they supposed to worship God under, you know, one sky, all nations. Now, if you understand me correctly, you can relate to the fact that, you know, freedom is also being free before God. And when you have a holy city like Jerusalem being requested by the rest of the world to be under Palestinian control, which, let's open parenthesis, which is undermined any freedom of worship of any other religion but Muslim, second, the Hamas is going to topple the government soon. You know, they are already calling for riots in the West Bank and Judea and Samaria. So what we are saying is we want to give the holy city of Jerusalem, you know, hey, guys, we have a holiday coming in. You know, everybody, we have billions of Christians around the globe. They need to rise up and you say, excuse me, guys, we don't give any entity that promote terror, promote slavery, promote does all act of against humanity, and give them the holy city of Jerusalem. You know, is that our God? Our God is good. So if it's not in the hand of the good people, I don't understand what we're doing. So once they don't want to present in the United Nations the theory that they have to deserve and they deserve a state. Okay, let's say they deserve a state. Now, what state they want to have? They want to have all occupied land. Now, there was never a Palestinian state. I'm not saying a rhetoric just for saying. I'm just stating the fact that I don't want to be, insisting or creating argument. The fact, there was never a Palestinian state. Nothing I can do about it. Nothing. It's a fact. So what they want, occupied what? You occupied what state? There was imaginary state? There was never. Now, if they are calling, let's try to value their point. If they are calling on Palestinian state as the territory, the geographic territory that the Roman left behind them after they destroyed the temple and kicked all the Jews out of the land of the Jewish land. Let's say, if they're calling Palestinian and all those inhabited that stated there, it's include also Jordan. So I don't understand why the world, when they talk Palestinian, they're pointing on Israel. Israel got it, free and clear in Resolution 181 in the United Nations. That the same United Nations wants to call it now. Now, they didn't decide, they didn't have a decision about Jerusalem, of course. They can make not decision, The mandate of Palestine, the mandate to Palestine was given to make a Jewish home. It wasn't a mandate to Palestine to create a Palestinian state. It was mandate to Palestine that was given to the British Empire in 1921. That book, that mandate included Jordan, that then, was cut by... by agreement with the Brits, which I don't understand, in the whole thing, how they did it, but they managed to cut the territory in half. So the geographic land of Palestine was given to a Jewish state. Then it was taken away to be a Transjordan and become Jordan. Then the United Nations decided, after Holocaust, all those Jews that really barely had a life come and gathered around, the world finally gave them the chance to build a house. And they come and they said, Jerusalem, we give it, make it international. Now, all of a sudden, Jerusalem become occupied territory. The land of Israel become still Palestine for them, forget they gave more than half to Jordan, and now they want to call Jordan wants to call to Israel to in 2 years to evacuate Judea Samaria. Now 200 how many hundreds of thousands of people live there occupied? They wasn't occupied. Now, does Jordan by any chance think that their empire call it a state, is not big enough? They want to annex also, they call it the West Bank, but Judea and Samaria. I think here we have a political movement that is really, really not kosher, we can say, but it's not really logic. Because if in Jordan 80% of the population are Palestinian and they have a queen, Palestinian queen, and they want the liberation of occupied territories, which there was never a state called Palestine, it means that Jordan wants more land and they want to annex it. Or if they don't want to annex it, it's worse. What, they want to kick 80% of the population out of Jordan because they're Palestinian? Now they're going to move to Judea and Samaria? Guys, whatever you look at this, this is not real. It's not happening because it's not normal. It's not logical. I know that an American could have the common sense to veto any kind of nonsense, because nobody ever can evacuate people hundreds of thousands in 2 years' time, like French, hello French, you guys, the one that runs anti-Semitism in the street, wake up. You think that you're going to be safe from terror? they're running your show already. And you are one to Kiku, you know, from Judea and Samaria. Think again, you know, no Shuri, you know, no more Shuri. It's not happening. I think, thank God we have some smart people in America that will push it away. Tell Jordan, try again, you know, no cigar this time. Let's go to a break, and I think we are running out of time. And we are back. I think it's Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio. It's the Impossible Truth. I just mentioned the impossible truth that, you know, we're facing with the world is really, you know, obscure of reason when it comes to Israel. But let me tell you something about Israel. Israel these days having an election, and, you know, it's going to shuffle again the cards and we're going to start again. And, you know, it's nice to think that somebody from outside can topple the government, or somebody from outside can decide who's going to be in the government. It's not happening. You know, Israelis are special. They're mixed. They are, you know, Christian, they are Druze, they are Muslims. It's all facet of life. And they all live together, you know, sometimes good, sometimes they're a little tension because the pressure from outside. You know, this Holy Land, it needs some special attention, because we need to start building up the destruction of all those years, of all those diaspora time. You know, Israel came back to life after 2,000 years of diaspora. They revived the Jewish language, the Hebrew language, the language of the Bible. They started wonderful, flourishing countries. And of course, there are people from outside that come in, they say, oh, it's mine. You know, my parents came from Libya, and when, you know, I don't think that nobody from my family ever wants to go back and say, this is my house. You know, in the shuffle of time, people move on and they move in, you know, to different locations. Sure enough, people in America in the same way, people from all over the world, they move around, they migrate. That's what happens. It's nature. And nobody is holding the key of the ancestor. You know, and if it's not on duty, let's say the duty of the Jewish people here is to give a light to the nation. And I'm sure that you all agree with me with the high-tech technology. They're doing a fine job. And with a lot of things that, you know, with agriculture, with plants, guys, do you know that this year is so special in the Jewish land that people are not supposed to work the land, because the land is resting. This year in Israel, the Holy Land, it's the seventh year where God is going to take care of the land. It means that it's going to not be planted. It's not going to be, they're not going to cut and eat the fruits, because it's not... in the tradition, you need to preserve it to rest. You need to give even the land a break. Somebody that, whoever loves the earth and the planet, understand that sometimes the earth needs to relax too, I guess. And this is by law. So people here don't eat any vegetation that comes from, you know, Israeli common. They use only the ones that are grown by others. And others can be from all over. So it's a beautiful time to sell to Israel a lot of good fruits, a lot of good things from all over. I'm sure that they'll be happy to buy, because that's the way it goes. Sometimes, you know, we sell and sometimes we buy. So Israeli, the next year, it's not going to be a year that they're going to eat and, you know, consume what they cultivated. They're going to purchase elsewhere. So you have opportunity to sell the Jewish state a lot of good things. Now, we had a little disaster changing the subject in the south. We had an oil spill. And you know what? The South was so devastated. Not many investors came around to build there. Ben Gurion, the founder of the Jewish state, did not succeed passing on his legacy of let's grow the Negev, where you're supposed to grow more housing, more development. People just left it because it's hot, it's desert, and for some reason they don't like to be there sometimes. But many do. But the actual government did not put emphasis. They built the office there, of course, for the Negev and the Galilee to build. But it's still leaking, not doing so well, I guess. And sure enough, we have a natural disaster there, oil spill, and millions of gallons of oil got spilled over in the south, which arrives to almost Eilat, which is the very, very south of Israel, endangering the environment, endangering the water, and the spill is, kept under a regular routine talks about what's really happening, but the truth of the matter is it's a disaster. They need to take care of it fast. They need to really, really work it out to make sure that it doesn't infiltrate the drinking water. I don't know what, contamination is something really bad. So I'm praying for it. I'm praying that they're going to build a lot of good street from after excavating everything. Anyway, I wanted to tell you goodbye. Wish you a happy Hanukkah, everybody from the Jewish state. Bring light to your house, whatever I can, and whatever love I can send your way, telling you how much the world is important, and you and each and every one of you is so special to God, and we are His creation, and He wants us to love each other and be each other friend and reach out. And this time when we know that things happen so fast and we don't have so many things to hold on, let's hold on to the faith that God is there and He's going to watch over us, and we can do our best just to be worthy underneath His sky. So God bless you all. Happy Hanukkah. Take care of yourself. And see you the next time. Talk to you next time. This is Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio. God bless you all. And the possible truth next week on Monday. Take care.